Mine is too. So this morning's message comes out of Hebrews 10, 19 through 29. And you have another sermon title that is a sports analogy perhaps, called "The Mound is for Pitching, but the Team is Still Needed." So I want to go to the Lord in prayer before we read the Word and share the message this morning. So let's go back to God in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning as a family of faith. I ask you to bless the words that we hear out of Scripture and the message that is presented for the nourishment of our spirits and our souls. As followers in Jesus Christ, we are thankful to be present in your house this morning. Be with us now as we read your Word and we meditate on it and we take it and share it with not only ourselves, but those whom we love, those whom we do not know, and the community at large. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name. Amen. So I'm in the New Living Translation, if you're following along with me. I'm in Hebrews 10, 19, and we're going to go all the way to 29. So this is a call of preservation in Scripture. And so let's go and see what the Lord says. And I'm going to come back to Scripture in our message this morning. But there are key points that I want you to take out of this. So let's see what the Lord has to share with us this morning, starting with 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus Christ. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting in him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold lightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received acknowledgement of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and who have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, which brings God mercy to us daily. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to the Lord. There's one verse in today's Scripture that I want to focus on this morning. Although the Scripture is extremely important, and if you continue to read on, it provides us a warning about how we continually understand our forgiveness and understand the sacrifices of Jesus, but we continue to do the things that we choose to do. So I encourage you to finish that Scripture in that chapter this morning or sometime this week. But there is one purposeful verse that I want to focus on out of that reading this morning, and it's verse 25. And it said, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Now I want you to focus on that meeting together statement. Let us not neglect that meeting together, as some of us do. Now, we would be blinded this morning if we recognize that our church is not full. There are many vacancies and spaces in the pews. And that meeting together in this scripture is specifically talking about our duty and our obligation to be here this morning and to come to church. Never before did I study or focus on church participation. I just never gave it much thought. I've been going to church ever since I can remember. There's a funny story about this young man who does great deeds for his neighbor, and she thanks him all the time, and he's just a wonderful young man, and she basically says to him, hey, what's made you the man you are today? And he said, well, I've got a drug problem. And she said, a drug problem? What do you mean you've got a drug problem? You're the greatest neighbor I've ever seen. How do you have a drug problem? He said, well, ma'am, I have a drug problem. He said, what's made me the man I am today was I was drugged by my mother and my grandmother to church. I was drugged by my mother and my father and my grandmother to every church function. I was drugged by my mother and father to every communion service. I know the Lord. So I, like that young man, feel that I come to church because it's my responsibility. It's also my duty. And so I share this with you because I've never studied participation. I've never counted heads in church. But in my short time with you and also within my temporary duties to you in this pulpit, I do that now. I pay attention to the faces I see. I pay attention to mostly the faces that I don't see. And I try to make sure that I see them again. But it's more than just counting numbers. It's more than a number on a sheet or a status sheet that said we had X number this Sunday and X number this Sunday. It's more than that to me. Because your faces represent your souls. And your souls are not only just important to me and this ministry, but they are hugely important to God Almighty. And I think part of our commitment and part of our obligation and part of the request that comes out of verse 25 simply says, let us not neglect our duty to one another to meet, as many people often do or fail to do. It's our responsibility this morning to be here. So I have to ask you this morning, it's a question that's got to come. It's forced by this message. So I'm just going to simply ask it. Why did you come to church today? Why are you here? I want you to answer this question for yourself. But the question deserves an immediate response. Not to me, but to God. Because He's waiting. He needs to know why you come to church today. This question is not the purpose of my message this morning. It's simply to ask a straightforward question of each person gathered here concerning your own personal reasons for coming. Why you come to church? Why you come to worship? Why you come to church functions? What do you receive out of it? So I call your attention again to your bulletin this morning where it says serving Christ at Bethel will benefit you. I encourage you to read this. I encourage you to take it home. And the reason I encourage you to do that is because it will begin to help you answer the question I just asked you if you don't have an immediate response. This question is certainly not done to call attention to anyone absent or anyone present, really. It's just a personal question. Now, we will talk about the ugly elephant in the room in a second, but this question, this sermon is not about who's not present. This sermon is about why it's important to be present. As faithful followers of Jesus Christ and members of Christ's church here at Bethel, there are two things about church attendance that should concern every one of us. First, overall church attendance has declined gradually in 30 years. Over the past 30 years, especially. Just looking at current data, post-COVID data has turned that absenteeism into hyper-acceleration. Second, the frequency of church attendance has declined as well. So we're not just talking about coming and not coming. We're talking about, well, you come a little bit, but then you lay back. You just think you've got other things that are more important to do. Can I ask you another question? What's more important in your life today than being right here for the next 90 minutes? What's more important? Just a question. Let me share a quick story with you. There was a man named Jim who went to church on Sunday morning. He heard the pianist miss a note during the prelude, and he rolled his eyes in disgust. He saw a teenager talking when everyone else was bowed in prayer. This frustrated him terribly. He sensed the deacon taking up the offering was watching just to see how much money he actually put in that offering plate, and this infuriated him. He caught the pastor in 5 verbal errors in the sermon that he gave that morning. Following service, as he slipped out of the side door, unbeknownst to anyone in the congregation, during the closing hymn, purposely to avoid everyone in that building, Jim said to himself, "What a bunch of hypocrites. I'm leaving. I may come back next week, and I may not." Meanwhile, a man named Joe also went to church. He heard the pianist play an arrangement of A Mighty Fortress, and he was overjoyed and thrilled at the majesty in which it brought to the halls of that sanctuary. He heard a young girl take a moment in service during silent prayer to share a simple, moving testimony to the friends that were gathered around her in faith about how the faith of her love and respect for Jesus Christ had changed her life. He was super delighted to find out that the church was doing a special offering that morning for the children in his local area for additional Christian education outside of the church itself. He appreciated the sermon. He said it spoke to him, for it answered several questions that had been bothering him for several weeks. And he, in fact, told the pastor that when he left. As Joe left the church that day, socializing and reminiscing with his friends and those he didn't even know in that congregation who had worshiped with him that morning, he thought to himself, how could anyone come here and not feel the presence of God? It was simply an amazing service, and I have been re-energized and I am uplifted by being here. What I want you to note about this story is you have 2 men, Jim and Joe. Both men attended church that morning. They also attended the same church that morning. In fact, they sat in the same pew. And what I really want you to pay attention to is each man found exactly what he was looking for when he left. Should Christians attend church? That's a great question. Here is an age-old question. Can I be a good Christian without joining the church or attending worship? Can I be a good Christian without going to a fellowship event? Can I be a good Christian and just stay at home? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, you can. And it is certainly possible to do that. There are those who are not able to attend who are wonderful Christians. They love the Lord, they pray, and they support His work on a daily basis, and they are given the grace that God gives them. They are given the grace to others that surround them. They simply do not have the ability, because of their limitations, to serve here this morning in worship or tomorrow at a church function. But they are good and solid Christian people who God pays attention to every day as they pay attention to Him. But for all the rest of us, that's a different story. Here's the ugly elephant in the room. So I'm probably going to mash your toes a little bit. As Billy tells me all the time, thanks for stepping on my toes this morning. And I usually say, well, I'm sorry about that, Billy. But this morning, I'm probably going to step on your toes. And this morning, I'm not sorry. Just letting you know, Bill. I'm not sorry this morning. If you are an able-bodied believer in Jesus Christ, you should attend church. Period. You cannot be just a good Christian staying at home. You just can't do it. Jesus, I want to remind you something. You see, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the guy who put everything on the line, including His life, didn't stay at home. He didn't save Himself. He hit the streets. He ministered to people. He loved on them. He saved them. He healed them. And then He died for you and me. He didn't stay at home. Nor should we. You see, I look at it like this. A Christian without a church is kind of like, a citizen who won't vote. Maybe a student who won't go to school. A soldier who won't serve. A sailor who tries to sail a ship without a crew. A pitcher on the mound without a team. Maybe it's like a mountain climber who won't leave base camp. That's kind of how I see it. Why should we go to church? What's the purpose? What's the reason? The importance of assembling in our churches is twofold. It benefits the individual with spiritual stability and growth. And it benefits those around us as we have a positive effect on them. So here's the long and the short of the story. I come here because I'm sinful. I come here to find my Lord and Savior. And I find Him in your faces. I see Him in my friendships. I see Him in your lives. And I am fulfilled and energized by my presence with you this morning. And so should you be. Now, I don't truly understand sometimes how I can stand up here and give you a message that you can leave here with and take it with you all week. But sometimes I may be successful and sometimes I may fail. But what I will tell you as friends in this building this morning, I need you. And I hope and pray that you need me. I hope and pray that what you see in me is the same things I see in each of you. You see, that encouragement, that nourishment is what we need. One of my all-time favorite excuses in my short time serving as your temporary supply is that I often try to focus on those folks that I haven't seen in a while. Or I will see them in Bible study, but I missed them in church. Or I'll see them out somewhere and I'll say, hey, I missed you at church, or hope to see you back, or hope to see you next Sunday. And here's one of my favorite things. They always say, well, Derek, I'm not going to make it next Sunday, but I'll be there in spirit. Or, I'm sorry I missed you, but I was with you in spirit. And you know, that that worked for a while. I bit into it like a big old fish. It was good. It hooked me because I like it. I understand what they're saying. But while studying for this sermon, I ran across this story. It's entitled, When My Hat Is Here. Pay attention to the story and think about those excuses. There was a university not named that had a policy that if the professor was 10 minutes late for class, the class was canceled. Now, Mr. Gonneau, if that would have been his policy, we'd have never learned math at Riverheads High School. I'm not saying he was 10 minutes late for every class, but there were times that he got busy. But we waited on him. Okay?
I was broke.
You were. We love you too. So, one day the professor came to class and he was busy. He put his briefcase in his chair and he laid his hat on his desk and he ran off to a faculty gathering where he met up with some other faculty, and all of a sudden time had passed him by and he was late. When he came back to class, to hat class, he noticed that his class was gone. Empty chairs. He looked at the clock and realized he was 17 minutes late. So when the class met again in the same week, but several days later, he informed his students, "Folks, when my hat is here, I am here," he said. So the students never again had a miscommunication with that professor, and they learned from that lesson. So the class met again before the week closed out several days later. And the professor chose to be just on time. He was not going to be 10 minutes late. When he entered that classroom to attend class and teach the class, as he walked around the corner into the classroom, there sat his 25 desks. And on every desk, there was a hat. His class was there in spirit, but not in body. Thus, the lesson couldn't be given, and the game couldn't be played. So it is not true that you can be a good Christian without going to church. You don't simply say, "Well, I'm going to be there in spirit, but I don't have to be there in body." We are in need of church. We are in need of friendship. As I told the guys this morning, we are in need of each other's company. We are in need of that friendship and love that we share. The touch of a brother and sister in Christ is most important in our lives as we grow together. There is also a need, friends, for acceptance. An affirmation that is met when we come to church. It is important for all of us to have a feeling of belonging to something. This is our home, and we should attend it frequently. As Christians, when we attend church, we are living in the Spirit of God. And when we live in the Spirit of God, the Scripture tells us that we should be like Jesus. And when we live in the Spirit of God, we are like Jesus. Here's another quick story for you, shared by Pastor Dave McFadden in 2010. This is actually my favorite. "Whose Side Are You On?" it's entitled. The story is told about a believer who was stone cold deaf and partially blind. He couldn't hear a thing and he couldn't see half of what he was looking at. Despite this, he faithfully went to every worship service. He faithfully attended every function of the church. And one day, a group of elders and deacons gathered up and asked him, "Why do you bother? You can't hear the sermon. You can't hear the music. You can't see. You can sit on the first pew and you barely can see the pastor. Why do you bother coming to church?" And he says, "Here's what I'll tell you. I want everybody to know. Everybody to know who knows me what side I'm on. That's why I come to church. Because of his commitment to Christ and Christ's commitment to him, he believed he was required to come to church. In fact, he is exactly right. It is commanded of us to attend God's church. As followers and disciples of Christ, the easiest and most obvious reason for attending the church is because we are told to. We are told to. I'll read you a humor story here that I found in my study. This sermon's full of stories, but they are worthy. "Why go to church?" was the title of the letter to the editor. A churchgoer wrote to the letter to the editor of the newspaper and complained that it made no sense to him any longer after 30 years of attending church that he needed to go to church. He wrote, "And in my time, in my 30-year tenure at this church, I've probably listened to 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time and the pastor's wasting his time writing them." This started a real controversy in that local paper, and the editor was overjoyed. He had more people writing him than he had ever had before. So he was the only happy guy, apparently, in this story. This thing went on for weeks. And then, here come the clincher. A gentleman wrote, "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu of one single one of them. But here's what I know," the author said. "They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. In my lifetime, my wife had not given up on me and those meals. If she had, I would be physically dead today from malnourishment. Likewise, to all the readers, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." There's an old statement that says it takes a village to raise a family. Friends, we are a family. And it takes a village to sustain God's church. Here's the truth today. In our world, as grace has it, it's bestowed upon us, we simply need each other. We need each other just like pitchers on the mound need their team, just like sailors need their crew, just like God and Jesus needed his disciples. As I close with this final story, I remind you of Jesus' life and ministry. How many times is there an account from birth to death was Jesus alone? How many? Not many. He chose to be among his people. He chose to be in with you and me. So I want to go back to the excuses that I've talked about. I want to go back to the whole process of what we hear and the things that we think about as we rise to the sunrise in the morning and decide whether we're going to come and worship together. Here's what I want you to focus on. Listen to this story about the pitcher and his team. One day a team went forth to play a game of baseball. Just as the umpire was saying, "Batter up!" the catcher for the home team arrived and took his place behind the plate just seconds before the game was to start. The center fielder didn't even show up at all, but sent his regards. The third baseman likewise failed to come to the game, having been up late the night before. The shortstop was present, but he had left his glove and batted home. Two of the three substitute players, and also the outfielders were away on a weekend trip. But they sent their regards and told the coach, "Hey coach, sorry we can't make it. We'll be there in spirit." The pitcher went to the mound, looked around, and there was no team. But his heart was heavy, for the positions were empty. The game was announced. The visitors were in the stands. The game must go on, and there was nothing for him to do but to pitch the first pitch. And so the ball crossed home plate. But in addition to pitching, the coach and those poor guys that did show up had to play all the positions. The pitcher had to assist the shortstop, absent his glove. He had to be the pitcher, the first baseman, the third baseman, the second baseman. When the absent players heard that their team was absolutely annihilated that day in their home stadium, they were upset. In fact, they were so upset that they held a meeting and they decided to fire the coach and fire the pitcher. Much like a baseball team, the church cannot survive and function and flourish without every player showing up and participating. Remember what we told the young men? Absent from the bench, you will miss the game. It holds true here this morning in these final statements. The pitcher, maybe the pastor in the church, and the coach, and some of the other players, maybe the elders and the deacons, who come more often than not, they can't hold this church together. It takes all of you guys who are on this team to make it work. It's important for you to be here. It's important for you to be on the bench. Not so much for any other purpose than to serve Christ Jesus, who has served you. So I leave you with this thought. What side are you on? The winning side is Christ Jesus, our Savior. The losing side is that absenteeism found in only one excuse. What side are you on? Batter up. Amen.